Lord. May it be a time where we can understand, Father, a true picture of God. And help this to be a time of instruction, Lord, that we can learn more from your Bible. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're there in Revelation chapter number 8. And by way of introduction, I just want to explain a few things. We've been preaching through a series on end times prophecy. Our very first sermon we preached in the series, we talked about a timeline of prophecy. And really, we were showing you a timeline from the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and how that fell perfectly with the outline given to us in the book of Revelation. And how it all went perfectly up to the rapture, having positioning the tribulation before the rapture. The second sermon, we preached on the subject of the tribulation. And we proved from the Bible how the majority thought that Christians will not go through the tribulation. Most Christians believe in what is called the pre-tribulation rapture, that we will be raptured out of the earth before the tribulation, because they believe the tribulation is the wrath of God, and they say God would not put his children through that. And we prove from the Bible that the tribulation is not the wrath of God. The tribulation, we went through and looked at every passage that had the word tribulation in it. We proved it very thoroughly. Tribulation means trouble. Tribulation means persecution. And what the tribulation is when the Antichrist persecutes the believers. He persecutes the saved. And we got to be here for him to persecute us. And it wasn't until after the tribulation that we saw that the rapture happened. And last Sunday night, we preached on the subject of the rapture. And we went through and showed that very clearly, how it's after the tribulation. Now tonight, I want to focus on the subject of the wrath. And when the wrath happens, the wrath of God, it's placed after the rapture. When the pre-tribulation rapture people say, well, the Bible says that God has not appointed us to wrath, I say, amen. God has not appointed us to wrath. But the tribulation is not the wrath of God. And I want to show you that. Now before we can get started tonight, I got to explain a few things to you. And if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down or just try to remember it. But you've got to understand an overview of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has 22 chapters in it. The first chapter in the book of Revelation is an introduction to the book of Revelation. It's an introduction to John. This is John the disciple. John, who wrote the book of John, and who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John finds himself at the end of his life, exiled in the Isle of Patmos. And he's on that island, and as he's on that island there, the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his glorified body appeared to John and began to talk to him. And that's what we find in chapter number 1 of the book of Revelation. Chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 of the book of Revelation is what John wrote down, what the Lord Jesus Christ told him, and he was giving him specific messages to seven churches in Asia, to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Thyatira, to the church of, you know, all these seven different churches in Asia. The Lord Jesus Christ had seven different things he wanted to say to these churches, and it's and that's what we find in chapters 2 and chapters 3. It's John writing down what the Lord is dictating that God, that Jesus Christ wanted to tell these seven churches. Some of them he's rebuking, and some of them he's encouraging, and most of them he's doing both, rebuking and encouraging. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, we find a view into God's throne. If you read chapter 4 and chapter 5, you'll see the throne of God, and it's all illustrated for us and explained to us, and it begins to explain to us the steps that are happening before what we consider the unfolding of end times prophecy in heaven. So we see God on his throne, and we see the four beasts that are there, and we see the 24 elders, and we see the Lamb walk in and take the book out of the right hand, and all those different things. We see God do that in chapters 4 and chapters 5. Chapters 6 through 11, we find the unfolding of end times prophecy in their chronological order. 6 through 11, you got to read to chapter 6 of Revelation before you start getting into anything that's going to happen in the future. And in chapters 6 through 11, you begin to unfold in its chronological order end times events, end times prophecy. And we proved that in the first sermon. Remember, we kept going back and forth between Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and Revelation starting at chapter 6. You remember that? And we were going and showing how they were all in chronological order. Now, here's where most people get mixed up in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter number 12. In chapter number 12, there's, like I said, there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. 11, The first 11 chapters are the first part of the book of Revelation. Chapter 12 begins the second part of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is divided into two parts. And in chapter 12, here's what you got to understand. Chapter 12, the story starts over from the beginning. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Who's the red dragon? Satan. A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven there represent the angels. And remember when Satan fought with God, and a third of the angels came down with him. Do you remember that? And those angels became what are known as demons today. Well, then number 4 is a reference to that. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You say, who's that child? Look at verse 5. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That child is Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 12, the story starts over. And from chapter 12 to the end of the book of Revelation, we start with Jesus Christ, and we go through all of the end times events again a second time. That's where people get confused with the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, you'll have 2 raptures, one in the first part, one in the second part. It's the same rapture, it's just a different... You say, why does God do that? I don't really know why God does that. Why did God give us Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? They're all the same story of Jesus Christ, but there's different views of the same story. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why did God give us the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, and then He gave us the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles? It's the same stories, just a different view. And here in Revelation, and to be honest with you, I personally believe, I told you this before, the reason God said it twice in the book of Revelation is because if you remember, Matthew, who wrote the Gospel according to Matthew, gave us the Olivet Discourse, where he went through end-times prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. Mark, who wrote the Gospel according to Mark, gave us the Olivet Discourse going through end-times prophecy in Mark chapter 13. Luke, who wrote the Gospel according to Luke, gave us the Olivet Discourse going through the end times prophecy in Luke chapter 21. John, however, never gives us the Olivet Discourse. So I just think John had to do it twice. Because he said, well, this is for John, the one I missed, and this is the Revelation one. So that's what you got to say. When you're reading the book of Revelation, you get to chapter 12, the story starts over. That's why you're like, why am I reading about the beast again? Why am I reading about the Antichrist again? Why am I reading? Because it's going through it twice, okay? Now that's going to be beneficial for you as we go through this. Now let me explain a few things. You say, you know, the steps of the book of Revelation are divided too. Keep your finger in Revelation, because we're coming right back to it. Go over there real quick into Matthew chapter 13. We've seen this passage a couple times in this series, but I want you to see it again. Because I want you to understand this, and I want it to get stuck in your head. Matthew 13, look at verse number 37. I'm not going to take the time. Remember, whenever we study the rapture, we want Jesus Christ to teach us about the rapture. Remember we read that parable before about the sowing the seed, and while men slept, the enemy drew, you know, tares in the field? I'm not going to read that whole thing for you again, because we've done it a couple times already. But look at Matthew 13, look at verse 37. I just want to refresh your memory. This is Jesus Christ teaching on the rapture. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 37. It says, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Because remember, He gave them this parable, and they asked Him, well, look at the last part of verse 36. Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. They said, can you explain that to us? So in verse 37... He begins to explain the parable. He says, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest, I want you to make note of this, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So, what is the end of the world? The harvest. In that parable, the harvest represented the end of the world. And the reapers, the ones that were going out and reaping the harvest, represented the angels. Look at verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom them all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he says there, hey, the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. And he says, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels. So he says, when it's time for the end of the world, when it's time for the rapture, I'm going to send my angels to go get my children. Go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I want to explain to you in Revelation. Now, here's what you got to understand. The book of Revelation is in chronological order. Between chapters 1 and chapter 11. And then it starts over at chapter 12. And in chapter 12, it begins again with Jesus Christ. And it goes in chronological order to the end. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter number 7... we find the rapture in the first part of the book of Revelation. Look what it says. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now notice, there's four angels. Those are the reapers, remember? Now it makes grave mention to tell us that the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow. At this point, the wind had not blown on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Do you see that? Have the angels began to hurt the earth and the sea? No, they haven't. Because this angel said, hey, hold on, before you hurt the earth, before you hurt the sea, look at verse 3. I know this is review, but I want you to understand this. The angel says, saying, this is what the angel said, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So he said, don't hurt the earth until we seal the servants. I'm not going to take the time to read it. You can read it if you like. Verses 4 through verses 8, he tells us who those servants were. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. Look at verse 9. After this, after what? After they sealed the servants. Why did they seal the servants? So that the angels could go ahead and hurt the earth. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Now look, the Bible numbers very high numbers. Just in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, it tells us that he numbered the angels, and there was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a big number. And he said, but this great multitude, in verse 9, no man could number. And notice, of all nations, kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's the rapture, my friend. We find that the angels come down, because remember what we learned in Matthew 13, the angels are the reapers. The rapture, the end of the world, is the harvest. So the angels came down, brought the wheat up to the storehouse, and he says, I saw the angels, and what's the next thing I saw? I saw all these people in heaven. That's the rapture. Now, go with me real quickly to Revelation chapter 14. You say, why are we going to Revelation 14? Because in Revelation 14, we find the rapture again. But it's not a second rapture. It's the same rapture. We're just in the second part of the book of Revelation now. And we're going through the end times events again. Look at verse 14. Well, actually, look at verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, is that a coincidence that in chapter 7, what did he say? He said, I saw the four winds, for the angels, standing on four winds. And he said, hurt not the sea and the trees and all that. He said, until we've numbered the servants of God. And how many did they number? 12,000 out of 12 tribes. What is that? 144,000. They sealed him on the forehead. What do we find in Revelation 14? Is it a coincidence that here we find 40 and 4,000 having their father's name written on their forehead? It's not a coincidence, my friend. We're just reading about it again. from a different angle, from a different view. Skip down to verse 14. I don't have time to divide. One of these days on a Wednesday night, we'll preach through every verse and every chapter in the book of Revelation. I don't have time to do that right now, but look at verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Do you see that? What do you use a sickle for? For the harvest. Look at verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Look what he says. He says, thrust in the sickle and reap. What is that? That's the rapture. Just like it was in Matthew 13. The harvest is the end of the world. Thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Do you see that? We find the rapture again. Revelation 14. It's not a second rapture. It's the same rapture. We're just reading about it a second time. Look, verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now here's what I want you to understand. In Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, we find the rapture. But before that rapture, I know I'm reviewing, but I really want you to understand that. Before that rapture, in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, we had the tribulation. You say, show it to me. Okay? Do you remember? Go back to Revelation chapter 6. Do you remember? In verse 7, we saw the rapture, correct? Look at verse 6. In Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 9. Look what it says. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Why were these people slain? That word slain means they were killed. Why were they killed? They were killed for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Why are they? Were they held because of the word of God? Why were they held for their testimony? Because there's great persecution at this time. Look at verse 10. And they, these are the people that just got killed, they're up in heaven, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. You see that? That's the tribulation. That's when the Antichrist is going to kill. It happens in chapter 6. What happens in chapter 7? The rapture. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 13, look at verse 7. And I'm giving you just the highlights because I don't have time to go through every verse. But look at Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him. If you study the context there, that's the beast, the Antichrist. And it was given unto him to make war with the who? Saints. Who are the saints? They're not some picture with, you know, a candle that you burn up or whatever. That's not a saint. If you study the word saint in the Bible, and I've done it before, I don't have time to do it now, go through and look at every time the Bible uses the word saint, every single time it's talking about believers, it's talking about believers who are alive. A saint is you and I. Well, if you're saved, you're a saint. And the Bible says in verse Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So do you see that? The Antichrist is given power over all kindreds, over all tongues, over all nations. This is a one world government. And what does he do when he has a one world government? He makes war with the saints. The tribulation. That happened in chapter 13. And what did we see in chapter 14? The rapture. Go real quickly with me to Luke 21. Luke 21. I know this is a lot of review, but I don't know how much. Sometimes we may miss a lot of it, so I just want you to see it because I want you to understand it. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse number 12. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 12. Luke 21 and verse 12. The Bible says, and Luke chapter 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. He's saying, look, you want to run. Why? Look at verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Now, please understand this. The wrath there is not the wrath of God. That wrath is the wrath of the beast. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. Who? Believers. And shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, this is the rapture, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Go with me to Matthew 24, real quickly. I just want to finish this review and get into the new material, but I want you to understand this. Matthew 24. Look what it says. Matthew 24. Look at verse 19. Matthew 24. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 24, verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. When will be great tribulation? It says, after that. After what? Well, the abomination of desolation. We talked about that in the sermon about the Antichrist. Look what it says, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the rest, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. So, when will those days, when will the sun be darkened, and when will the moon not give her light, and when shall the stars fall from heaven, and when will the powers of heaven be shaken? Immediately after the tribulation. Do you see that? Look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. When will appear the sign of the Son of Man? Immediately after the tribulation. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When will they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory? Immediately after the tribulation. Look at verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. That's the rapture, my friend. We saw that in Matthew 13. We saw that in Revelation 7. We saw that in Revelation 14. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When shall he send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect? Immediately after the tribulation. The tribulation is the rapture is after the tribulation. The Bible does not teach a pre-tribulation rapture. You go through the tribulation, which is not the wrath of God, it is a persecution of believers. After God gets fed up with Christians. Remember the Christians saying, how long till you give us vengeance? And he says, a few more people got to die. Just hold on tight. Once there's so many Christians who are dead, God gets so fed up. He's like, I'm done with it. He said, go angels. Let's bring them home. And then begins the wrath. Go to Revelation chapter 8. The book of Revelation is divided in two parts. Because we find two tribulations. Chapter 6 and chapter 13. We find two raptures, chapter 7, chapter 14. And we find the wrath of God divided into two sections. You find it in chapters 8 and 9, and you find it in chapter 16. And by the way, do you notice the rapture's in chapter 7, and what's 7 times 2? 14. Where do you find the rapture again? Chapter 14. The rest is found in chapter 8. 8 times 2 is 16. You find it again in chapter 16. It's given it to us twice. Say why? So you can study it that way. Look at verse number 6. Let's just get right into the wrath of God. Now here's what I want you to understand, okay? The tribulation was the Antichrist persecuted Christians. Now the tribulation, the great tribulation, the Antichrist tribulation, will be in an intensity that the world has never known. But let me tell you something. Today there are Christians being persecuted. Today people in China and people in Iraq and Afghanistan and Christians and all and Middle Eastern. Today there are places where Christians are persecuted. That's not out of the ordinary. But in the Great Tribulation, it'll be in an intensity that the world has never known. Does that make sense? But there's nothing supernatural about that. There will be earthquakes during the tribulation, but there's earthquakes now. There will be famines in the tribulation, but there's famines now. There will be all sorts of things, and it'll be intensified during tribulation, but it's all things that we see now. That's not the wrath of God. When God begins to pour out His wrath, though, now we begin to see supernatural things. You're there in Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 6. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Now here's what you understand. In the first part of Revelation, God outlines for us His wrath with seven trumpets. The first angel sounds the trumpet, and then you've got the first part of the wrath. The second angel sounds his trumpet, I just like to do that. And then you've got the second part of the wrath. You know, the third angel sounds his trumpet, and then you've got the third. And that's how He outlines it for us. In the second part of Revelation, chapter 16, He has the wrath of God outlined with seven vials. They're given a vial that they're pouring on the earth. Okay, so you got to understand that. Put your finger in Revelation chapter 8 and put your other finger in Revelation 16. Let's study this out. Look at verse number 6. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Okay, has anybody ever seen hail fall before? I think we've all seen hail fall before. Have you ever seen hail mingled with blood fall before? That's a little different. That's supernatural. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees, notice, third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So are the trees getting damaged now? Yeah. Is the earth getting damaged now? Yeah. Remember in Revelation 7, were they being damaged? Remember He said, don't hurt the trees, don't hurt the sea, till we've sealed our servants. But now it's getting hurt. So in verse 7 it says that the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Skip over to Revelation chapter 16, look at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath. You see that? The vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now we're getting into the wrath of God. Look at verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell, notice, there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image. Now, here's what's interesting. In Revelation 16, the Bible tells us there fell a grievous sore. That word sore there means something that causes you pain or distress. So we're told that something that causes them pain or distress fell on them. But it doesn't tell us what. But in Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 7, it tells us what fell on them that caused great pain and distress. It was the hail and fire mingled with blood. Do you see how we study the Bible? Compare spiritual with spiritual. Do you understand what we're doing? Now here's what we gather from verse 16 that we didn't gather from chapter 8. Look at chapter 16. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell noisome and grievous sores upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image. So God is pouring out hail with fire mingled with blood, but notice, Revelation 16 we find, it's only falling on people that have the mark of the beast. Isn't that interesting? It's not falling on the people that were marked of the servants of God, the 144,000. So you took the mark of the beast, now you've got, it's like these, you know, they got like these missiles that are like track you now, you know what I'm talking about? How like jets will have, you know, they go to war. That's how I got God's, you know, things like, you're like trying to run from it, it's following you. Because it only hits those people. Go back to Revelation chapter number 8. Look at verse 8. And the second angel sounded. Okay, so now we're sounding the second trumpet. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. Do you see that? And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. So a mountain gets thrown into the sea and a third part of the sea turns into blood. And of course all those animals die because they can't survive in the blood. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Do you see that? So the Bible tells us that the second angel sounded, and a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The animals died that were in the third part of the sea, and the ships were destroyed. Go to Revelation chapter 16. Look at verse number 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. Do you see the similarity? He poured his vial on the sea, and the sea became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Exactly like we saw in Revelation chapter 8. But notice, in Revelation 8, we were told a burning mountain was cast into the sea, and Revelation 16, we're just told that he poured his vial. Do you see what I'm saying? This is how you study the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Okay? So when the second angel sounded, a great burning mountain was cast into the sea, or the oceans, the salt water, and the third part of it became blood. We saw that in Revelation 16. When the third angel sounds, we see that, look at verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were the lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So now we're not talking about the salt water, we're talking about the fresh water, rivers, lakes, ponds. Look at verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Go to Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 4. And the third angel poured out his vial. So you see, we're seeing the first trumpet, the first vial. The second trumpet, the second vial. The third trumpet sounded. Now verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Do you notice the similarity? What's being affected? The rivers, the fountains of water. And I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You say, that doesn't sound very nice. Yeah, God's angry. That's why it's called the wrath of God. Go to Revelation chapter number 8, look at verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded. So we have the fourth angel, right? And the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the seas. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So the fourth angel sounded, and what happens? All the lights go out for a third part of the day. Of a 24-hour period. The sun is darkened for a third part of the day, the moon is darkened for a third part of the day, and the earth becomes dark for a third part of the day. Look at verse 13. And I beheld... we'll do verse 13 in a second. Go to Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 8. Revelation chapter 16. Look at verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the... What does that say? Sun. Do you see how it's the same thing? And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. So the sun went out, but this angel is given power to scorch men with fire. He's burning people alive. And men were scorched, look at verse 9, with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Go back to Revelation chapter number 8, look at verse 13. Now so far we've looked at four trumpets, four vials. What were they? The first one was fire mingled with blood, hail falling down. The second one was the sea became blood. A third part of the oceans became blood. That was the second one. The third one was a third part of the fresh water became blood, became bitter, undrinkable. The fourth one was that the sun was darkened for a third part of the day. The moon was darkened for a third part of the night. And that angel was given power to scorch men with heat. Four vials, four trumpets. But look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. Look what he says. Woe, woe, woe. Now let me explain something to you. That word woe, W-O-E, that's the most grievous word found in the Bible. When the Bible uses the word woe, God is telling you, I'm serious about what I'm about to say. And this angel says, woe, 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 three times. Why does he say it three times? Look what it says. He says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. He said, if you're living on the earth, woe. Why? He says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. You see that? There's seven trumpets. Five, six, seven. Good. Seven trumpets. And he says, you know, you got the first four trumpets, you got the first four vials, and when you're done with those vials, he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. He says, you thought those four were bad? Wait till you see the next three. He said, the next three are worse than the first four. Look at now, I want you to notice this. Chapter 9, verse 1. We continue, same chronological order. And the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is hell. You can study that out on your own if you'd like. Bottomless pit is hell. This angel was given the key to hell, to the bottomless pit. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit. Make a note of that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. There arose a smoke out of the pit. Smoke out of hell. As the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So this angel is given the key to the bottomless pit, hell. He opens hell wide open, and what comes out of hell? A bunch of smoke, because what's in hell? Fire. And so much smoke comes out that the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts. This locust is coming out of hell, okay? And there came out of smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. What do scorpions do? They sting people. These locusts were given power to sting people. Look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. So these things are told, hey, don't hurt the earth, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Who are the men that have the seal of God in their forehead? The 144,000. According to the Jehovah's Witnesses, these guys are in heaven. They don't know what they're talking about. But he says, hey, he says to these locusts, he said, you can hurt whoever you want, just don't hurt the earth, and don't hurt the 144,000. Look at verse 5. Look how these animals are described. And by the way, did you notice that these animals, where'd they come out of? Hell. Where are these animals right now? In hell. Look at verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So these animals aren't allowed to kill mankind. They're just tormenting them for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Look at verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Look at verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts. He begins to explain to us these animals that are found in hell. He says the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. These are big locusts. So they have the body of a horse, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Can you imagine that? Look at verse 8. And they had hair as the hair of women. What's the hair of women? Long hair. That's what the Bible says. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Do you see that? And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt man 5 months. Now let me ask you a question. Did it get radically worse from the first four to the fifth? I mean, the first one is like a star falls from heaven, the water turns into blood, hail. But now these animals are coming out of hell. It's a horse with a man's body, with a tail of a scorpion, with wings, and it's told to torment everybody for 5 months. These animals. Look at verse, where were we? 10. And have tails like unto scorpions, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That the wrath of God is supernatural. Before, what did we see? Earthquakes, famines, wars and rumors of wars. Those are all things we see now. I've never seen one of these before. Look at verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Now, let me just take a break from the trial, let me take a break from the five trumpets. And the five vials. And let me explain to you. A lot of people in verse 11 believe that this angel, Abaddon and Apollyon, they believe that's the devil. Look at verse 11 again. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue have his name Apollyon. So a lot of people say, that's the devil. Now hold on a second. I don't believe it's the devil, and I'll explain to you why in a second. The Bible says, look at verse 11 again, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Okay? So number one, their ruler of these animals is this angel. Okay? If the devil was his angel, then the devil would be on God's side right now, tormenting the earth. Okay? The devil's the one who's giving the Antichrist his power. Do you remember that? So, that tells us it can't be the devil. But the Bible tells us that this is the angel of the bottomless pit, right? Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. When we were studying about the beast and the Antichrist, do you remember we saw this? Look at verse 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan bound him 1,000 years. Look, I believe that this angel, Abaddon, how he's called in the Hebrew, and Apollyon, how he's called in the Greek, well, I don't believe anything. The Bible says he's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's the one that opened. Remember that said that there was an angel who had a key to the bottomless pit? He opened the bottomless pit and all the smoke came out? I believe this angel is the same angel in Revelation 20 who has the key of the bottomless pit. And he takes a chain and he takes the devil and he binds him up and he throws him in the bottomless pit. So I don't believe this is the devil. Now, you can believe it's the devil if you want. Doesn't bother me. But I'm just telling you, I personally don't believe that's the devil. I believe that that's a good angel. That's an angel that's working for God. Look at verse 12. And one woe is past. Do you see that? How many woes was there? There's three woes, remember? Verse 13 of the last chapter. Woe, woe, woe. He says all these animals come out of hell. And he says in verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Look at verse 13. We'll see the second woe, which is the sixth trumpet. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are... I'm sorry, you know what? We never saw the fifth vial, did we? Did we ever see the fifth vial? Let's do that real quick. Remember we saw the fifth trumpet. Am I confusing you? I feel like I'm confusing you. We saw the fifth trumpet, right? In Revelation chapter 9. Let's look at the fifth vial in Revelation chapter 16. Did we see that? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Revelation 16, look at verse 8. Revelation 16, look at verse 8. We saw the fifth trumpet, let's see the fifth vial. Revelation chapter 16, look at verse 8. Look at verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Do you see that? And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not their deeds. So, the fifth vial, we're told that the earth is full of darkness, and these people are in so much pain that they're gnawing their own tongues. But we're not given much information. But you compare that with the fifth trumpet, and we know why the earth was turned into darkness, because the bottomless pit was open and the smoke came out, right? And we're told why they're in so much pain, because they've got these demon animals tormenting them for 5 months. This is how you study the Bible. You find parallel passages, you study them together. Go to Revelation chapter... where do I want you to go? Revelation chapter 9, look at verse number 13. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. Revelation 9, 13, look what it said. And the sixth angel sounded, right? Sixth trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Make note of that term. The great river Euphrates. He's told to loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So in the river Euphrates, there are four angels that are bound. Some people believe that this is referring to the Garden of Eden. We can get into that in a different time. Look at verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So he loosens these four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. And this isn't the river Euphrates that they think they have today. This is obviously a different river Euphrates. And that's why people think it's the Garden of Eden. But let's not talk about that. Look at verse 15. And the number of them, of the army of the horsemen, were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire. You know what a breastplate is? It's like something that goes on your chest to protect you, something they wore. He said these guys had breastplate of fire. Imagine seeing that. And Jason, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Can you imagine that? Seeing a horse with a lion's head? And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So you've got horses with a lion's head. They open their mouth and fire comes out. Being written by three angels that were loosed from the river Euphrates. Look at verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. So they killed the third part of mankind. How many people are on planet Earth right now? 7 billion? They killed a third part. By the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which is issued out of their mouths. Here's what's interesting. Some people are burned to death. Some people are suffocated just by the fire, just by the smoke that's coming out of their mouth. Look at verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents. Isn't that interesting? So they've got a head like a lion. The riders have breastplates of fire. And their tail is a serpent. And had heads. And with them they do hurt. So they've got a tail that can bite you. They open their mouth and they'll burn you. They killed the third part of mankind. Look at verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. Look at Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 12. Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse 12. We saw the sixth trumpet, right? Let's look at the sixth vial. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Oh, what a coincidence. Is that what we're talking about in the last one? And the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So you notice both vials have to do with the river Euphrates. Now he starts going into a different thing. He's talking about the battle of the great day of God Almighty. What is that battle? Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Now remember, Thessalonians tells us that day should not overtake you, brethren, as a thief. Ye are not in darkness, for ye are the children of light. But behold, to the unbelievers, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So that's the battle of the Armageddon. Look at verse, and then he goes into the seventh angel, seventh trumpet. Now, before we go there, go to Revelation chapter number 11. Now, if you notice, we skipped from Revelation chapter 9 to Revelation chapter 11. You say, why? Well, Revelation 10 and Revelation 11... don't deal with the plagues and stuff. They deal with the two witnesses. There's two witnesses that the Bible talks about. They're there through the time of God's wrath. We'll talk about that later. I may preach an entire sermon on that, so don't worry about that. But skip over to chapter number 11 and look at verse 14. You say, how do you know that you're not skipping vital information? Because remember, we had the three last trumpets were called the three woes. We saw the first woe. We saw the second woe. Look at verse 14. We'll jump in right at the time for the third woe, because it says, look what it says, verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Do you see that? So we're right where we need to be. Look at verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. This is the seventh trumpet. Now remember, the last three are called woe, woe, woe. They're the worst. And they're getting progressively worse. This last one should be the worst, by far, right? Look what it says, verse 14. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the seven and to the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple of the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and all the earth and great hail. So they open the seventh trumpet, and what are they talking about? They play the seventh trumpet. Look at verse 15 again. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. God won the victory. Now you ask the question, what happened to the seventh woe? Well, it was there. You probably just missed it. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 11. Go to Revelation chapter number 16. Well, actually, just look at this real quick. Go back to Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark and his testament. Hey, that's, you know why you want to come to church on Wednesday night? Because we're going to learn all about the ark. You know why? Because God told Moses to make an ark on earth like he had in heaven. Did you notice that? Look at verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark. God has an ark in heaven. God has a temple in heaven. And Moses said, and God told Moses, I want you to make one. Remember, I'm going to get into my Wednesday night sermon. Remember, he goes up into the mount? God shows Moses the ark and the sanctuary in heaven. And he says, I want you to build this on earth. So anyway, that was brought to you by the Wednesday night Bible study. Look what it says. And his testament. And there were, I want you to make note of this. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Okay? Make note of that. Go to Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 17. Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 17. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial, right? The seventh angel, into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temples of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. So you notice, in Revelation chapter 11, it says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. In Revelation chapter 16, they say it is done. They're proclaiming they've won the war. They're proclaiming it's over. It's over. Why? Because of the last woe. Must have been real bad. Look at verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what we saw there, right? Now you say, well, that didn't sound that bad. Well, look how bad it is. There was an earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. The worst earthquake we've ever known is going to happen at that time. Now here's what's scary about that. There's been some really bad earthquakes. I mean, there was just an earthquake. Remember the earthquake in Japan? Remember when the earthquake, sometimes earthquakes cause more damage because the earthquake, remember it caused a tsunami? Remember the tsunami, destroyed that nuclear power plant, and then you had all this nuclear stuff going into the air, and we're all going to die of cancer now because of it? I told you it'd be encouraging tonight. That's why you got to eat your carrots. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. Look at verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial. Look at verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Look what it said. This is how bad this earthquake was. And the great city was divided. What's the great city? Talking about Jerusalem. The great city was divided into three parts. This earthquake was so bad that the city actually divided into three different parts. It's separated from itself. Look what it says though. And the cities of the nations fell. Now look, it's easy to just read past that. That's a crazy statement. The cities, look what it says. The cities of the nations fell. What does that talk about? The cities fell. That's referring to the fact that you go down to downtown Sacramento here, you see all those nice skyscrapers? Skyscrapers. I'm tired. Skyscrapers. When this earthquake happens, the cities of the nations fell. All those skyscrapers coming down. Now here's the funny thing. Or not the funny thing. Here's the amazing thing. You remember September 11th? Remember when the towers came down? Now that was, if you watch video of that, that was amazing. I mean, it's scary. It was jaw-dropping. To see those two skyscrapers come down. All those people died, all that rubbish, all that thing. Imagine every building in every city coming. This is how bad this earthquake is. God takes the planet Earth in His hand and He shakes it so bad that every... Now don't skip over that. It says the cities of the nations fell. Could you imagine an earthquake so bad that every building was destroyed? And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island, look at this, every island fled away. This earthquake was so bad. Okay, if one earthquake in Japan causes a tsunami, did anybody ever watch those videos of the tsunami? It completely overtook that part of Japan. Imagine an earthquake so bad that every building in the world falls. Imagine all the tsunamis that would happen. All these islands are completely covered with water. Every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. Imagine an earthquake so bad that every mountain just disappears. Just, it's shaken so bad it just gets dissolved. Look at verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail. Now we saw hail before. This is great hail out of heaven. Every stone, the Bible refers to it as a stone, about the weight of a talent. That's heavy. That terminology, talent, that's what they use in the Bible to weigh gold and precious metals. And he says, there's these heavy stones of hail, and men blaspheme God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plagues thereof was exceeding great. Here's what I want you to understand. The wrath of the Antichrist, the tribulation, is persecution. You and I are going to go through that, my friend. Every Christian. The Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But Christians will live through the tribulation. We do not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. But no Christian will live through this. Because what happened before all this started? We're raptured up. He sent us angels, He took us out. But we will go through the tribulation. We do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Because the tribulation is not the wrath of God. Okay? Tribulation, we had earthquakes, we had famines, we had wars and rumors of wars. We had persecution. All those things we have today. When God begins to pour out His wrath,
And you start seeing horses with lion's heads that open their mouth and have fire. That's a tribulation, my friend. I mean, that's the wrath of God. Do you understand the difference? Supernatural.
We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Go with me real quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, let me explain something. Now here's what you got to understand, okay? And here's what I don't think we understand. God hates sin. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates sin. Those locusts that we saw, that had the tails like a scorpion and all those crazy things, those are in hell right now, tormenting people in hell right now. God hates sin. And you say, why is God doing all these things? You know why God's doing it? Because God hates sin. I don't know if you noticed there, but he kept talking about they would not repent. What were they not repenting? They wouldn't repent about their fornication. They wouldn't repent about their lying. They wouldn't repent about all the sin. Let me tell you something. God hates sin. And God punishes sin. You say, well, why doesn't God punish us? Because Jesus Christ took our punishment. I will never see the wrath of God, not because of who I am, but because Jesus Christ saved me, because God loved me. And guess what? That's offered to anybody. But let me explain to you something. God hates sin. He hates sin so much that he would do these things. You know why I believe God explained all this to us in the book of Revelation? Because he wants us to understand how much he hates sin. And the next time you're going to sin, you say, well, I'm never going to go through the wrath. I know. But why don't you stop to think, man, God hates sin. He hates sin so mad that he would bring an earthquake that would make the islands flood away, that would make the mountains disappear, that would make all the cities of the earth fall. God hates sin. Here's what you say. Why do you study the wrath of God? Number two, so it would motivate us to live righteously. So it would motivate you to not skip out on church. So it would motivate you to read your Bible, to pray, to live godly. So it would motivate you to throw the trash away you're watching on the television, that stupid television where you're watching all that trash on the television. You know, and you sit down and let me tell you something. Everything on TV is trash. It's all sinful. It's all wicked. And that's what I believe, and put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't care. It's all sinful. What does the television promote? Promotes fornication, promotes theft, promotes lying. What do you watch? You watch people, committing adultery, and you watch everybody cursing God and mocking God, and you watch that, and you gotta think to yourself, God hates this. Now look, I'll never go through the wrath of God, but can I understand that God hates sin? And maybe be motivated to live righteously and godly and holy life. Number two, you say, what can you get from this? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go through this. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want my mom, my dad, my friend to go through this. Now, here's what's so bad about the wrath of God. Is that this is, do you remember when he opened up hell? Here's the wrath of God. God is taking what's already in hell and pouring it on earth. You know what the sad part is for unbelievers? They'll spend eternity in that hell. That, what we just read, what we just saw. Do you think it might motivate you to say, I think I'm going to go preach the gospel to somebody. I don't want people to go through that. I don't want people to die and go to hell. Look, you can stick your head in the sand all you want and say, well, I just think that my family members are saved. They say that they believe that you can lose your salvation. And they say, I haven't really talked to them about it. Hey, do it all you want, but let me tell you something. God hates sin. And the only way to get out of this is through the rapture. And the only way to get in the rapture is to get saved. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to get people saved because I don't want them to go through this. I don't want them to go to hell. And the question for you, my friend, is, are you ever going to get on the program? Are you going to get to a point where you say, you know what? Work is important, but it's not more important than people dying and go to hell. Your little garden is important, but it's not more important than people dying and go to hell. And whatever you do, whatever, your little family time or whatever you do, it's not as important as this. Because God hates sin. God is angry with sin. It's the wrath of God. That word wrath means anger. You say, Pastor, I'm afraid. I don't like studying that. Well, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 9. We're done right here. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of John that the wrath of God, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on you already. But when you get saved, God has not appointed us to wrath. Hey, I don't have to go through this, and you don't have to go through this. And the world doesn't have to go through this. I wish, I don't know about all the other churches, I don't know about all the other ministries, but I wish that Verity Baptist Church would have a heart, that God would give our people a heart to say, you know what, I'm going to go preach the gospel. I'm going to go get people saved. I'm going to go live godly. Because this, my friend, is a hell on earth. That's why I said I'm worried. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, you obviously gave us the book of Revelation for a reason. And I pray you'd help us to use it to be motivated to serve you. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.